We completely forget about the structure. Any questions like what is Istanbul Protocol is not necessary. After what we have been talking right now, it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
What I would like you to say is something about how can people who are not forensic experts actually benefit from some guidelines, not just Istanbul Protocol, it's just one of them. Imagine I'm a family doctor and I have never heard of that, and then we want to organize some promotion workshops. How could we convince them? What can we tell them to care?
Well, I think it would be very important to reach out to them. And that was one of the results of was the very first Istanbul Protocol training that I was involved in, and that was in Uganda a few years ago. And we had 75 participants, 50 doctors, and 25 medical health professionals. And it was the first time really that they met together. There were no really forensic experts really, so much, but other medical health people who were, you know. And they enjoyed so much meeting with one another and speaking to one another. As I said, can we have more joint workshops? Because we want to talk more to one another, because we never meet. So that was really a chance for them to learn from one another, because lawyers don't necessarily understand the needs of the medical health professionals, and the medical health professionals don't understand the needs of the lawyers. What we found out there, and one of the conclusions was that it would be very important for people who are ill-treated, for instance in Uganda, they go primarily to their family, likely to go to their family doctors once they have been arrested and then they are freed again. They wouldn't go probably to some specialist in Kampala, so they would probably not even know about them. So it would be, in my view, in places like Africa where you don't have many forensic experts, and it would be extremely important to reach out to many more sort of family practitioners to give them a basic knowledge about, you know, the sequelae of torture treatment, how to, you know, diagnose those injuries.
Some Europeans might think that guidelines such as Istanbul Protocol are relevant in countries outside of Europe where severe torture happens, so, and that in developed Europe there is no need for the family doctors and practitioners to deal with that.
Oh, definitely. This is not true, because there is certainly a very big need even in Europe, and maybe torture is less frequent in Europe than in many other parts of the world, but it is existing. We have state danger, and it may not even be, you know, necessarily torture, but it can be, you know, police abuse. You know, you use too much force when you shouldn't do it, for instance, to effect an arrest, and then it is very important for also the medical practitioners here, and also for lawyers, to know about the guidelines and how to diagnose you know, the effects of ill treatment. But also, in my view, what is necessary, I think, if we are going to see a result of a decreased violence in society, I think we have to start in the right end. Now, we can focus on torture of state agents, but I think we have to start where in the family unit, where we have probably much more violence in Europe than by state agents. And my view is that unless we can treat people with dignity in our homes, we are not going to be treating people with dignity outside their homes. Or at least the temptation to abuse is going to be there. And I saw when I was in the Middle East, I monitored some training for police officers, also how it's sort of... violence is like, you know, I call it the multi-resistant bacteria. It sort of really develops. And there we have seen also how it spreads from one torture victim sometimes. the perpetrator of violence, and also it's present to the families. I've seen a huge increase in the number of domestic violence committed by victims of torture. And it was really interesting because there was at least one, if not several, police officers who had been tortured and who then in turn became violent. Wrong. And they became aware of this in the course of the training and came back to the rehabilitation center afterwards to ask for help because they realized they had a problem. So you see, it can be, training can be used in many ways also to be make the police officers themselves aware of the fact that they do have a problem.
And you have mentioned a very important thing, because what we want is to raise awareness about these guidelines in Europe.
Mm.
And in Europe, the domestic violence is a big issue.
A big issue.
And we have invited NGOs to participate in an IP training. Mm. They asked us, is it just for Amnesty International, or if we have domestic violence prevention or investigation NGO, are we invited as well? And they didn't know. And maybe that's a point that this should be promoted about the Istanbul Protocol as well.
Sure. I think it would. Maybe it would then be more useful to approach the documentation in a little more global sense by talking about violence in society, in our communities, rather than just focusing on torture, as we have done very much today, because that gives the idea that it is only something that is committed by state agents, whilst it is a societal phenomenon that needs to be dealt with.
And that maybe also explains and widens the number of experts who should be involved, that it's actually also social workers in Europe and all other occupations.
There are people who have better knowledge than maybe we would have on issues of domestic violence. I'm trying to deal with this in one a book chapter that I wrote last year, and I was asked to deal with violence against women in armed conflicts, and I told myself, no, I can't do this, because we are starting in the wrong end. We need to start at home. Once we do that, then so I try to, you know, follow the more logical line of addressing abuse of women.
So that's maybe also a future message towards the IP community. How could it be spread or widened, the whole scope of what the IP deals with?
Of course, I think one reason for addressing, you know, primarily state officials is that the state has a duty to protect us, all the human rights that we, and not only torture, because, but in the family, you know, it's based on love primarily, and we are supposed to protect each other. So it's just protection at a different level.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.